Okay, so the first thing I want to do is make sure nobody runs out the door having seen this subject, because it's something that, if it's done wrong, definitely winds me up. So I just want to get that out there, because like I say, it's the sort of thing where lots of red flags can be going off in your head. You know, you can go to DEFCON 1 ready to, get upset and stuff like that. And that's because it is one of those topics that, unfortunately, has been misrepresented in the church, isn't it? You know, if you've been around Christianity for any period of time, certainly recently, you know, there's this prosperity gospel, which is kind of saying that the purpose of the Christian gospel is to make you rich. That's what it's there for, you know. That's the main thing. Healthy and wealthy, you know. Touch the TV, receive your blessing. Yeah, you know. Send me £10, God will send you 100. All of that. So we can calm down. We're not doing that today. So we won't be going down that angle. So, but just to bound it the other way, I'm also not going to say that God wants us to be, obviously, in poverty as well. And we'll come back to both of those things, because they're part of what I want to talk about today as well. But there is something about money and riches, particularly that affects people. And the Bible says a lot about it. There's hundreds and hundreds of verses that talk about wealth, money, riches, all these kind of things. So it's really important that God's trying to sort of tell us how we should deal with these things, and about riches and prosperity. We need to be reminded. That's why it's there quite a lot. But also it is really, really important to the gospel message as well, because we want to make sure that the gospel that we're preaching is the gospel of the Bible, not this sort of twisted version of it. So that's important. So there's lots and lots of verses we could look at, but Nikki picked a really, really good one that we're going to use as our main text, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, we're going to look at that. So you can start flicking to find that if you like, and I'll put it up in a minute and read it. But just to give it a bit of context, because that's always really important for any passage, because you know, if you take a text out of context, you're just left with a con, aren't you? Yeah. So that's something. I didn't make that up. I just thought it was nice. So this is Paul, the apostle. He's writing to one of his traveling companions, Timothy. So you can read about Timothy and Paul's journeys in Acts from sort of chapter 16, verse onwards. So Timothy's a fairly young guy. He's probably sort of in his 30s, something like that, at this point in time. And Paul's been doing his rounds, and one of the places he visited was Ephesus. And he's moved on from there. He's elsewhere, but he's left Timothy in Ephesus to start building and strengthening the church in that place, having preached that. So his dad was Greek. His mum was a Jewish Christian, so he was brought up in a sort of Christian environment. Very, very early church, though, obviously. So that's the setting that it's in. And the letter is all about establishing a church. So he's talking about things like worship. He's talking about leadership in church. He's talking about widows, the young ones and the older ones. And all the way through, in amongst all these subjects, he's warning about false teachers and false teaching that's come in. So, like I say, the version I've got here is super, super literal. Okay, so it might seem a little bit clunky, but that's what it'd be good for you to follow through in your own versions as well, because that's good, because you get those different nuances as well. I've also structured it very, very differently. I've kind of broken it down because Paul likes a list. I like a list. Paul likes lists of things. So I've kind of pulled his lists out. And the other thing he likes to do is he likes to talk about something positive, and then he likes to talk about something negative, then positive, and negative, and he goes between those two. So you'll see that as well as we go through. And he likes to contrast the bad with the good, the kingdom of the world with the kingdom of God. You know, this the broad road that leads to destruction, and then the narrow road that goes right the way up the middle, that leads to God's kingdom. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. There's those contrasts there as well. So hopefully you'll pick that up as we go through. So let me take my glasses off so I can read it as well. But like I say, follow through in your own versions as well. Okay. Don't know if you can read that. It's pretty small. Yeah, you okay? Right. So, starting halfway through verse 2 of chapter 6. So he says, teach and implore these things. That's all the stuff he's talked about before, but now also the things that he's going to talk about now as well. If anyone is teaching a different doctrine and is not agreeing with the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ and according to godly teaching, he has become conceited, being versed in nothing but a disease of all kinds of things concerning controversies, trivialities which create envy, strife, evil suspicions, altercations, as people whose minds have become detached from the truth, supposing godliness is a source of gain, a source of wealth. But godliness with contentment is a source of great gain, for we bring nothing into the world, and neither are we able to carry anything out. Having food and clothing is sufficient. But those desiring to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, many unintelligent, hurtful, bad desires which plunge them into destruction and eternal ruin. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some long for. It's caused them to wander from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. But you, O man of God, flee from these. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Contend the good contest of the faith. You might have fight the good fight, for instance, there. Take hold of eternal life, into which you were called, and you have professed the good profession before many witnesses. I charge you before God, who brings forth all living creatures, and Jesus Christ, who testified the good profession before Pontius Pilate, to guard the spotless and blameable command until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will cause to be seen at the assigned time. And then he goes off on one of his little diversions, this Paul, because he's really getting excited here. The blessed and only sovereign, the king of those who reign, the lord of those lording, the only one having immortality, who dwells in an inapproachable light, and whose person as no person has seen or is able to see, to whom be honour and might eternally. Amen. To the rich in the present age, command them not to be proud, not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but upon God, the one offering us everything richly for enjoyment, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous liberally, that's like really, really generous, storing up treasure as a good foundation in the future, so that you may be able to take hold of the true life. O Timothy, guard the deposit, turning aside from unholy, empty babbling and disputes of the falsely named knowledge, which some are professing about the faith. Oh, I've gone on to that one. Which some are professing about the faith. They've missed the mark. The grace be with you. So we can see that this misteaching about the gospel and it being there to be used to gain wealth and become rich is nothing new. It's around now, it was around then, and it's been around all the way through, unfortunately, the life of the church. It really got to a bad state in the Middle Ages with the Catholic Church introducing indulgences, which is where you could pay for someone to pray for you so that you would go to heaven. And that was a big part of why the Reformation then came about. So it was a really, really, really bad thing that was going on, and like I say, has all the way through. So what is it about money? Like I say, there's something there, isn't there? What is it about money? Well, is it because people want to be happy? You know, there's that saying, money doesn't make you happy. But I wonder, actually, whether sometimes we think it will make us happy. Is it about security? These are just some things that popped up into my head. Is it, well, if I've got enough money, I'm secure. You know, if the troubles of the world come in, I can push them away with my bank balance. Identity. Maybe that's something. You know, if I've got lots of money, look at me. You know, I saw there's an advert about kitchens being restored in house embarrassment, apparently. That's probably a made-up word. So this couple, they're going to get some friends come around. And because their kitchen's in a state, they decide to spend a load of money to get a nice new kitchen. Not because they want to provide great food for their family. Not because they want to have, you know, home group there or anything like that. But just so they can look good in front of their friends. So status, power maybe, you know, look at me, I'm rich, I'm able to determine the lives of other bits. And this overall thing of contentment, you know, will money give me that? And I think that's quite common in the world. But we know the irony and the tragedy of pursuing money to give us these things is that it doesn't. It may fleetingly provide some of these, but it will soon wane, and it certainly isn't there permanently. It will disappear. And we could probably all think of examples in the media, you know, the people who seem to have everything, you know, they're absolutely loaded, whether they're politicians, musicians, princes, sports people, who seem to pursue wealth, only to be very, very unhappy. And it says here, doesn't it? Just going back to some of those negative things about money when we pursue it. To those desiring to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare. Many unintelligible, hurtful, bad desires which plunge them into destruction and eternal ruin. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some long for. It's caused them to wander from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. And unfortunately, even some of those people who've been in church leadership, not here, but generally, you know, in the wider world, we know of cases where they've fallen by the wayside because of various temptations. But of course, most importantly, we need to think about ourselves. You know, do we sometimes look at that worldly way of dealing with things and status and happiness? Are we tempted? That's the most important one to remember. But of course, wanting to be happy or joyful, wanting to be secure, who our identity is, and that sense of containment aren't bad things to want, are they? But the thing is, it's where we find it. And the truth is that all of those things for us as Christians are found in God. That's part of the gospel as well. The blessings of God bring these things around, not money. And that's the danger of making money our idol. Now, the other thing to say about money is, in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. Money is a good thing, okay? It's a neutral thing. So it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. It's a bit like dynamite, isn't it? Dynamite, if a terrorist gets hold of it, they can blow up things and kill people. But it can also, if you work in a quarry, It's really, really useful. But also, you can have fireworks with it, so you can have some fun with it as well. So it's how it's used. And money is very much like that as well. So the answer of misuse isn't non-use, it's correct use. And we know that there's that story of the rich young ruler. So Jesus to him says, you need to give it all away. But he doesn't say that to all Christians, okay? Don't wipe your brows, don't go phew. Because if you do that, maybe you're saying something. So just that little caveat there. So right use. So like I say, money's brilliant. It can be really, really good. But we've got to make sure that we don't pick up these negative things. So we've got to be careful it doesn't make us proud if we're rich. And we are generally fairly wealthy in this country, relatively speaking. We mustn't put our hope in it, because as I say, it will disappear, even if ultimately it's when we die and we stand before God. Those won't count for anything, yeah? We take nothing with us. But we can use it to do good, yeah? We can be generous with it. That's what we should be doing it. We should be using it in good ways. And we know, you know, some of the stuff that we do collectively as the church, supporting the school in Africa. You know, that's a great thing. We couldn't do that if we haven't had the money that we've got individually that we're then prepared to give to God to use for his kingdom. And I expect many of us have got other things that we do individually as well to, you know, to bless other people occasionally, or there'll be other charities, Christian works maybe that we support as well. You know, it might be like Compassion's good, where you can sponsor a child. So money's a good thing where it's used properly. So that's one thing to say. We're not looking to be completely poor. So having said that, you know, so we're not going to be impassionate, or we don't care about money at all, or whether we're rich or we're poor, in the sense, you know, social justice is still a really important thing as well. Yeah, so we don't want to be blasé about money and say it's not important either. We need to make sure that, you know, we do fight for justice as well for those that are struggling. But the really important thing is, well, what is true riches? What does God really want us to prosper in? That's the important thing. Because like I say, it's not about being in lack. It's not about having a huge bank balance, but it's having a big bank balance in the kingdom of God and in godly things. So he says here, O man of God, so this is us, so this is the stuff that's godliness with contentment is a source of great gain. So you flee from all that stuff we were talking about, but what you need to do is pursue righteousness. That's what we want in our bank balance. So righteousness is basically doing right stuff. It's about justice. We should be doing that as we go about our day-to-day life. Godliness, that might be piety or holiness is another way of translating that, being like God in his character. Okay, so not becoming divine or anything weird like that, but becoming like God in his character. We should be like that. We should be rich in those things. Faith. We should be not those that are flip-flopping from one thing to another, but we should be holding strong to the truths of the gospel and holding strong to God. Love. That's the thing that's a big part of the gospel, big part of the Bible, used lots and lots of places, and we know it's not the fluffy stuff. We know that it's that deliberate choosing to do good to other people. Perseverance. Or endurance, you might have in your translation. So that's making sure that we've got enough in the bank balance that when the bad times come, when someone annoys us, that we can keep going in the way that God's calling us to go, not be pulled away. And gentleness, that's another good one as well. So recognizing that what we say and do to people can either destroy them or build them up, especially if you're in a position of authority or power or anything like that. If you say something the wrong way, you can destroy people for, for life, really. We know that if someone's a parent and you speak unkind words, you may forget it, but your children will remember that forever. So being gentle is super important. And when you see that list there, and I'm sure it's not an exhaustive list, you might think, I'm sure I've read some of these words elsewhere. So half of them are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, faith, love, and gentleness. And you will see some of those other ones in lists as well. And as well as things that we pursue, of course, they're things that God gives us. So that's the big advantage over our cash machine, where we have to go out and earn our money to make sure it's filled up and the balance is there. The good news is that the bank of God, the kingdom of God, He's putting it in, and it's infinite. We can't use it all up. You know, we can't say, oh, we've run out of righteousness. We've got a zero balance. We can't get any more out. All these things. So as well as us doing it, the good thing is it's part of what God does for us. But of course, it does say that we need to do some stuff as well. So I've underlined and made them bold as well. So it's really important that we do flee from these temptations, you know, and it is difficult at times, because like I say, that road, that narrow road, runs right the way up the middle of the broad road. So we can see some of these things and think, oh, I like that. That's quite tempting, you know, just dip a little toe into the wide road occasionally. Very, very dangerous. So we need to make sure that we flee from that, but pursue, chase after all this great stuff that God's got in store for us, all these amazing things. The other thing we need to do is we need to fight the good fight. We need to realize that there is a war, a contest, depending on how you want to think about that in your own mind, that you don't just step over and we don't need to worry about it again. It's a constant battle that we need to keep on fighting to make sure, not only for us, but for those around us as well, that we make sure that we move in the right way. Take hold of the eternal life. So they're quite active, these things, these words. You know, they're very much about fighting off the bad stuff, but also making sure that we keep hold of all the good stuff as well. So it says guard the deposit. So guard this gospel, the truth. We need to hold on to it and protect it from some of this false teaching, some of these temptations that we can all come across. And to turn aside from all the unholy stuff. And he just reminds us that grace is with us as well. So all those things we were singing about this morning, that presence of God there that's with us always, so that we're always in a place where we can call on God to help us use these things and be the person that he calls us to be. So that's kind of it, really. That's the message I wanted to give using that. But it's one to reflect on. So are we recognizing the right way to go? Are we being generous maybe with our riches? But are we using all this stuff that God's deposited in our bank balance for his sake and for his kingdom? So I'll pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. Lord, I want to thank you that you do bless us with all things for enjoyment. Lord, I just thank you that we're able to live in a relatively rich country, Lord, and that it's okay to enjoy that as well. But Lord, we want to be those that do good works. That Lord, in everything we do, whether it's our cash or whatever, all these amazing things that you put into our life, Lord, that we give them to you, that we build your kingdom, that Lord, that we proclaim the good news of salvation, that Lord, that joy, identity, and contentment and our status and who we are only found in you. And that Lord, that you keep us secure, that Lord, we can't lose that. We can't lose our salvation, Lord. And Lord, just pray that we can share the good news of your gospel with others, Lord. Just thank you that you give us our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen.